Hello, and welcome to a new edition of Beltway Banthas, How the Force Can Fix the World. Daily reflections on life, liberty, and happiness from a galaxy far, far away. I'm still your host, Stephen Kent, and sorry for the radio silence this past month, as I've been preparing for the launch of How the Force Can Fix the World, which will be on shelves here soon, November 9th, 2021. I've been thinking a lot about how best to add value to everyone listening and share what this book is about in the truest sense with you. And that answer is that Star Wars is not just a series of movies and shows. It's an honest-to-goodness guide for living, and I think everyone who listens to this podcast does recognize that. So for the next week, at least, I'm going to strive to release one podcast a day. Short, quick to consume, and designed to help you start your day strong with a lesson or virtue from the Star Wars story that has power and relevance to the challenges any one of us may face daily. This is just the first in that series, and it's going to be a little bit different, so let me know what you think. You do know how to reach me. The other week, my daughter wanted to see her first spooky movie in the spirit of Halloween, which was very exciting for me. I didn't want to overdo it and scar her, so we turned on M. Night Shyamalan's Signs, starring Mel Gibson and Joaquin Phoenix. There's this really great scene where Gibson, whose character has lost faith in God and exited the church, is looking at news footage of lit-up alien ships hovering over major cities all around the world. And his younger brother asks him, "Is this the end of the world?" Gibson answers like so, and it's a little bit long. People break down into two groups. When they experience something lucky, group one sees it as more than just luck, more than coincidence. They see it as a sign, evidence that there is someone up there watching out for them. Group two sees it as just pure luck, just a happy turn of chance. I'm sure the people in group two are looking at those 14 lights in a very suspicious way. For them, the situation is a 50-50. Could be bad, could be good. But deep down, they feel that whatever happens, they're on their own. And that fills them with fear. Yeah, there are those people, but there's a whole lot of people in group number one. When they see those 14 lights, they're looking at a miracle. And deep down, they feel that whatever's going to happen, there will be someone there to help them. And that fills them with hope. See, what you have to ask yourself is, what kind of person are you? Are you the kind that sees signs, that sees miracles? Or do you believe that people just get lucky? Or look at the question this way: is it possible that there are no coincidences? This rings true as true to me. There are two types of people in the world. If not religion, it's the same sensibility that leads perfectly smart people down the road of conspiracy theories and grand plot narratives. Take 9/11, for example. It's either a story that embodies chaos theory and the ineptitude of government to prevent and surveil very basic and visible security threats, or it's a master plan put together by an ingenious devil in Dick Cheney with the help of a useful idiot in George W. Bush. You see how these narratives about our existence are interacting? Design or accident, creation or Big Bang, free will or determinism? I want to ask you a somewhat different question than the one that Signs asked, which is, do you believe in fate? Or do you think of every day as a story yet to be written? Most people I meet tend to be somewhere in the middle on this question. On the one hand, it often seems like the universe and our lives have a natural center of gravity, a trajectory onto which we are born. On the other hand, we all make choices. One of the most provocative themes in Star Wars is destiny. Qui-Gon Jinn, with his final breaths, insists that Anakin Skywalker is the chosen one, destined to bring balance to the Force. Darth Vader tells Luke that it's his destiny to join forces with him on the dark side and rule the galaxy. Luke later believes Ben Solo is destined for incredible evil, and he goes so far as to nearly murder him in his sleep to prevent it. Rey, in the final chapter of the final trilogy in the Skywalker story, learns she is the blood heir to Emperor Palpatine. With that kind of evil running through her veins, Rey rightly questions if she's the force for good in the galaxy she always thought herself to be, or if she's something different or malevolent. We have these debates in modern life all the time about whether or not we're mere products of our upbringings or anomalies who somehow defied our programming. You've likely been part of the nature versus nurture debate at some point. Some kid on the other side of the country commits a shooting in a school, and the nation's eyes turn to the parents left living in the rubble and shame of that incident. We wonder, was that their doing? Or was this something that was always inside that child, just waiting for its day? Was this fate or the tragic conclusion of a string of really bad choices by all parties involved? These are the definitive social and political questions of the moment we're in, yet they're also completely timeless. It's all part of the discourse over whether free will exists and whether we have it. I used to believe that the existence of free will was both uncontroversial and widely accepted, but that really turns out not to be the case. In the highest levels of academia, journalism, and media, it's increasingly in vogue to talk about free will as an illusion. I'll cut to the chase here and say that we all face limitations in our life. For some, it's the home that we're born into, what's in the refrigerator and what's not. Maybe it's your body or the mind you were given that from the earliest of ages is confused as to the why of its existence. No one would ask for that, but it's part of the cards that they were dealt. I believe firmly in the power of choice, but it's painfully obvious to anyone who has lived that some choices are made for us. Think about Luke in A New Hope, when he's actually turned down the opportunity to go help the rebellion. And then he goes back to his home and his family, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru,
Owen,
have been killed. His choice to say no to the hero's call was kind of nullified in this moment. The inevitable consequence of this is that it limits the choices we may be able to perceive as being available to us on any given day. The determinist Sam Harris likes to cite this example that if someone asks you to pick a movie for movie night, you don't choose what comes into your head at that very moment. Your mind scrambles for options, selecting from a limited menu of A, whatever you've seen or are aware of, right? The movies that you actually know exist, or B, something that is brought to mind by stimuli in that moment. Like maybe you're eating a combo meal from Wendy's, and so it pops into your head that Winifred or Wendy is the name of the mother in The Shining. So The Shining jumps to the front of your mental list. You get what I'm saying? You get to choose from that menu, but you don't really have full control over the menu. We all come to this thing called life carrying the burden or benefit of choices that were made for us. Think Ben Solo, who becomes Kylo Ren, and the burden of the kind of power that he has running through his veins. His royalty on one side with his mother Leia, and the roguish, disjointed personality that is his father, Han Solo. This is a burden and a benefit mixed into one, and it really makes his life a bit of a living hell. One of the really interesting things that I learned reading the comic books leading up to The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi is that Ben Solo was very much inclined to not join the dark side and leave Luke Skywalker and his training in the Jedi Temple. But Luke lost faith in him first. And when that moment came where there was a misunderstanding of intentions between Luke and between Ben, in many ways, he felt the choice had been made for him. He would no longer be a Jedi. He would follow Snoke and learn more about the dark side. I want to close by talking a bit about Rey. This whole idea of Rey Nobody that we learned about in The Last Jedi versus that of Rey Palpatine, her true origin that we learn about in The Rise of Skywalker. Long story short, The great Sith Lord Sheev Palpatine had been toying with the Empire's cloning technology as a way to create physical hosts for his consciousness to be transferred in the event of an untimely death. One of those early clones was imperfect and did not possess any Force ability. He was allowed to live free and roam the galaxy, and he met a lady, and they had Rey. This part of the Star Wars lore is still a little bit messy, and I think that Disney's going to smooth it out in time. Only time will tell, but for now, Emperor Palpatine didn't necessarily procreate. That would be a little bit gross. Rey, when she learns about her heritage, her world is shattered, her sense of self totally demolished. Up to this point, Rey hadn't known how she fit into the grand narrative of the galaxy. She knows the Skywalkers are legends, but she also knows that no matter how much she looks up to Luke and Leia, she's not part of that larger-than-life family. She's just a fan and an admirer. But for now, it's worse. Rey is implicated in a legacy of evil and burdened with a feeling that she's somehow fated to continue the family business. That's so wrong, isn't it? Parentage plays a role in shaping us, but so does environment and lived experience. Genetics are just the starting point for any of our stories. In the end, Rey rejects the call to darkness, as Luke Skywalker did before her. She fights alongside Ben Solo or Kylo Ren to defeat the Emperor once and for all, and in the finale of the film, Rey is asked by a lowly drifter, "Who are you?" To which she responds, "I'm Rey." "Rey who?" "Rey Skywalker." This, my friends, in the Star Wars sense, is the definition of making lemonade out of lemons. As much as I personally dislike what ended up being done with Rey's bloodline, it's such an incredible statement for a character to not only reject their family legacy, but also to choose their own family alignment. Taking on the mantle of Skywalker is the dream of so many Star Wars fans, mine included. Star Wars is clear-eyed about both the existence and the limitations of a free will. There are forces at work in our lives that push and pull us in all manner of directions. Prophecies, birthplace, parentage, even literal slavery are at work in this story. But nevertheless, Star Wars honors a rich philosophical tradition that adheres to the existence of choice in how our stories unfold, and an insistence that even in areas where we have almost no choice, it is better for us to believe that we do. There will always be moments when our menu of options are limited, or when the fork in the road really does present just two ways to go. That's hardly a choice sometimes. There are intellectual avenues you can go down that attempt to explain away even binary choices as being ones where free will is an illusion. But they are wrong. We all share one fate. Our bodies will still always grow old, and our hearts will one day stop beating. But that says nothing about what our destinies could be. That says nothing about what you could do with the air that you have in your lungs or the blood in your veins at that moment. Believing in a construct in which outcomes are predetermined does not push us to be the best version of ourselves. It does exactly the opposite. We always have a choice. If a choice doesn't take you in a good direction, then you need to make another choice. Free will is real, but it really can be squandered if you allow yourself to be held hostage by your emotions, or substance abuse, addiction, or even pride, the fear of asking for help. So here's four things I want you to consider as you begin your day, so that you can see and defend your power to choose. First, you've got to find your Obi-Wan. It can be really hard sometimes to see the choices that we have available to us. Our imagination and sense of possibility is somewhat limited to experience. So talk to friends, family, and mentors about the struggles you're facing and decisions that you need to make. We all need an Obi-Wan Kenobi. You might realize by talking to this person that you have more options than you thought and more will to exercise that they could recognize when you couldn't. The second is that you need to consume with care. If you've ever heard somebody say, "You are what you eat," it can come across as sort of mean in the wrong setting, but it's actually remarkable how well this applies to our thoughts. the way that you spend your time, the content you consume, and the people you are surrounded by will inevitably affect the range of thoughts that you have to contend with. You can't be afraid of poltergeists or Michael Myers or Freddy Krueger under your bed at night if you've never seen these films or put them in your mind in the first place. Quiet your mind. That doesn't mean thoughts won't bombard you. They're going to. But learn to see thoughts that are unwelcome and then politely place them on the back burner. If a thought is persistent and it just won't stop cutting in line for your attention, you may have an unhealthy relationship to the source of that thought. This is the nature of mindfulness meditation, a recognition of the validity of your thoughts, but an insistence on controlling what gets priority. The last thing that I want you to contend with is that the bigger your world is, the bigger your possibilities are. Bigger the menu. Maybe you don't come from much material wealth or you lack friends in high places, but there's nothing stopping you from trying to be in the right place at the right time. Do volunteer work. Take unpaid internships. Stay involved in community groups where you can network with different characters from different walks of life. Who you know matters, and choosing to meet new people can create and open doors that were previously non-existent. I can't actually think of a better example than in the original Star Wars when Obi-Wan and Luke go to the Mos Eisley Cantina basically just because they know that that is where pilots will be. And lo and behold, they meet Han Solo, and their lives are never the same. That is all for today. I hope you enjoyed this subject on free will and hope and Rey Skywalker and how Star Wars tells us the truth about the power of choice and the limitations of our options by circumstance. Both can be true at the same time, and both are valid and they matter. You can follow me on Twitter at Stephen_Kent89, and for a full chapter on this very topic, you can go pick up How the Force Can Fix the World, Lessons on Life, Liberty, and Happiness from a Galaxy Far, Far Away, available for pre-order now and out on November 9th, hard copy covers, and an Audible edition narrated by yours truly with a bonus Beltway Banthas podcast exclusive to people who pick up the audiobook. Go get that right now on Amazon. I'll be back tomorrow with another one of these. So until then, may the Force be with you. Always.
You are nothing. A scavenger girl is no match for the power in me. I am all the Sith.
Rey, rise.
The Force will be with you.
And all the Jedi.
Always.
Stand together. Die together.